Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So if anything, the Covington High School students are a bigger story in my view than even yesterday when we came on. I'll play you here on the Dom Show a couple of the students, not the principal kid who had the square off, but the Covington students who talk about what it's like now for them to be at Covington High School, where today there are going to be protesters from Native American groups. Okay, you understand that, given the topic, at least, even if you don't agree with them. And protesters from our buddies, Antifa. Yeah, there is Antifa in Covington, Kentucky. That's going to be interesting. But the president of the United States has tweeted out on this. And I know there's a suggestion, why not invite him to the White House? Whoa, I don't know if we're there yet. And there is a bigger, broader, big, broad thing that's involved here as far as the Catholic vote, as I see it, which makes up about 26-27% of voters in presidential elections. Now, Covington Catholic High School has canceled classes today due to security concerns. The prosecutor in their county is going after, and I hope he's able to convict somebody on this, of those issuing all kinds of threats on the students and the school. It's about time that the Mark Stein last night called them the cyber jackals, the cyber vandals, have some kind of comeuppance with what goes into an attack like this. So we'll see if that happens. And there's an attorney I'm trying to get on, Robert Barnes in L.A., I've been following this morning. He's gone after people like Andrea Mitchell, who still have not apologized and retracted what they said about these kids. Now, I study this at Rutgers Law, won the moot court competition on libel defamation, and I know if you're any kind of public figure, it is very difficult to win in these cases. Okay? But these kids clearly were not public figures when all this was happening. So President Trump tweeted out, looking like Nick Sandman. Not sure if that, I think he left off some letters there. And Covington Catholic students were treated unfairly with early judgments proving out to be false. Smeared by media. Not good, but making big comeback. New footage shows that media was wrong about teens' encounter with Native American at Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson was the very best last night of going through this. And I'm just looking at a graphic that was put on Fox News where this attorney in L.A., Robert Barnes, says, retract this or it's libel and I'll sue. Now, I don't know about winning any of these suits, but it is time to do something rather than just complain about the media. Because any number of them still have not retracted what they've said. Maybe more importantly, this is inside the Catholic Church. I try to go on the website of the Covington Diocese. It's been down. And the parents at Covington High School are angry because an email went out with no apology, with nothing saying, hey, this is more complicated than we initially thought. And the bishop has not rescinded his condemnation of these students. Even the bishop in Baltimore, with the murder rate and everything else going on, attacked them on Twitter. Here's the bigger story. Now, the Washington Post gets into this, and the bigger story is the Catholic vote on this. They have a big piece up that says that this is illustrative, what we've seen with these Covington High School students in their view of what's going on with the pro-life movement. They want to know why has the pro-life movement become the march for life of Republicans? Well, the answer is simple, because you can't be a national Democrat and be pro-life. You can't be anywhere near that. I don't think you can be a Democrat anymore. You must be at least vaguely pro-choice, if not for abortion on demand, essentially. They also repeat something that is greatly disputed, if not debunked, that the group of young people chanted, build that wall, build that wall. We haven't been able to find any evidence of that yet. Then you have any number of fake Catholics. John Cusack talking about how he's embarrassed to be a Catholic. This guy, Ted Lieu, congressman from California, who has a perfect score. He says he's a Catholic from NARAL. That's the abortion rights people. How do you have a 100% score and be a Catholic? It's impossible. He's one of the most outraged. But the Washington Post goes trolling for any number of people and finds them trying to besmirch the National March for Life. And they ask, why has this become just a Republican or conservative constituency? Why have they hitched their wagon to the Trump campaign? And these kids in wearing the hat indicates what's happened to Catholics. Now, you know, whether you're a Catholic or not, you have the social justice warrior Catholics, Jesuits and the like. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to use this not just to get at Trump in general, not just to take attacks on white privilege, that's been thrown around, but they're also doing it to try to spread dissension and try to say that any number of the March for Life people are divorcing themselves from Trump, from the MAGA hats. Here's one person who tweets out on this, one of the leaders. The incident involving the boys and the Native American elder is disturbing but hardly surprising. In fact, it illustrates how the culture of the pro-life movement and March for Life makes it difficult for Christians of color to participate even when their convictions are aligned. You getting what I'm saying? Here's another one. Rachel Held Evans. Christians, this is what happens when you raise boys to admire a racist bully like Donald Trump. Notice where we're going, not just with Catholicism in general. We're going toward the issue now of the March for Life. We're going toward the life issue. The best that I've seen of a public figure that has tweeted out and talked about really what happened here is Patricia Heaton from the Middle. Everybody loves Raymond. Patricia Heaton tweeted out that, well, first of all, here's Alyssa Milano. The red MAGA hat is the new KKK hood, just in time for Martin Luther King Day. Ah, Big Jim Kenney. I haven't seen on his Twitter feed, and I know a lot of people are waiting for it, an apology or a restatement. This is more complicated. Kenney tweeted out as this was happening, this despicable incident reminds us what happens when our country's leaders condone and embrace hatred, fear, and bigotry. We must do better. Keep fighting for change. All right. When is Jim Kenney, if not an apology, how about a statement saying this is more complex of what happened here? Now, Patricia Heaton takes the media to task. She says, apologies are welcome and necessary, but they don't address the damage that cannot be undone and was inflicted upon young people who are about to embark on adulthood, applying to colleges, looking for employment. She makes the point, people see Covington High School. They see that. Oh, that's that school. That's that school that, you know, the phrase, the elder, the Native American playing the drum. And then people, of course, in social media have nothing to do with time on their hands. They go back to, I think it's 2013, so the kids wouldn't even have been in the school, where they had a basketball game and they had a theme, a rally around it. Now, I don't think it's good for a Catholic school, particularly given what's going to happen, to allow a blackout. Now, you've seen Penn State. They do whiteouts. everybody dresses in white, and a lot of the students are white anyhow. And it sets a tone, a theme, and it sets a backdrop that is distracting to the other team. So they had a blackout against a major rival that Covington High School played a few years back. And some of the students did cover their faces, and others dressed in black, and some colored their faces in black or used paint or whatever they used. So now they were running with this for a while until people said, yeah, it was a theme associated with a blackout, like a whiteout. Again, I question the judgment of the school engaging in that. You know where this is going to go. Not a good thing. But that's what it was about. It's not a bunch of racist kids in Kentucky egged on by Catholics. And it, one person sent me a great email. It had to be like 5 o'clock in this morning, that I often talk about the ultimate virtue signaling. You know, those signs, hate has no home here, publicly on lawns and all that stuff. So that, you know, we're not like those other people. This is a perfect example of it. Any number of alleged conservatives pounced, or at least people that don't like Trump, like the National Review. And they still haven't retracted it. They still haven't said we should have watched the whole thing. If you missed yesterday's show, because I knew some people were off and not regular listening, let me give you the synopsis of clearly what it was to me. You had this obnoxious group that I think is violative of the law here in Philadelphia, but they get away with it because of one judge and because Kenny and for other obvious reasons. And I've talked about them for years, the so-called black Jews, black Israelites. They say all kinds of violent things. They say all kinds of threatening things. They say all kinds of homophobic things. They take up the space in front of one of the better department store, call it what you will, malls, One Liberty Place, over on 17th Street, in front of the door of a building that people pay a lot for, not to have people harassed to come into that building. They have bullhorns. They're anti-Semitic. So they were there, and they start to get into it with these high school students, maybe because they saw the hats. Now, I said yesterday, and I still stand by it, the kids there made the best of the situation by doing football chants for their school. And the one kid that's dressed in shorts and 10 degree, taking off his shirt and dancing and all. That's not going to defuse the situation with this group. It is not. The chaperones would have been better moving them away a little bit and telling them, yo, don't engage with them. They're obviously bizarre. They're obviously hateful. Just don't engage. There's no engaging with them. There's nothing to win with these idiots, particularly with the viral nature of the world that we live in. Okay. And I said yesterday, as far as we can tell, one of the Native Americans came in and got into it with the black Israelites after they bothered these kids. Then somehow or another, though, Nathan Phillips, who is a professional protester pretty much and provocateur, the 64-year-old Vietnam veteran, took it upon himself to take this moment to confront the kids. He apparently confronted a girl first, then he ended up with Sandman, and then stared down while playing the drum. There was no surrounding him. We don't hear on the tape anything that I've seen build the wall or anything like it. But this fit every box and every narrative. And you would think, after the full tape is out there with all these news people, that almost universally they would have said, we're retracting this. It's more complicated than that. But there's still holdouts. I'm watching Erin Burnett last night on CNN. She teases, well, even with all this, does that tell us fully that these kids are not wrong? I want to be clear. These kids are not perfect in their behavior there. They are teenagers, though. The kid that has the stare down with the Native American. Upside, he's never threatening. He may in his mind think he's diffusing it. But it's a smirk. I don't care who you are and what you want to say. I know a smirk when I see it. I'm not going to go in the tank and say it's not. But is that a thought crime now? That's what he engages in. Was that threatening? No, it wasn't at all. So was it perfect how they responded to this? No. Again, I thought the adults there, the chaperones and all, should have been savvy enough to say, you know what? This is not good. Yeah, you have a right to do it, but is it good for the school or whatever? Don't engage with the black Israelites. Now, wouldn't you think the media, with all the demand for fodder, for material, we would see thousands of pieces on the black Israelites, who they are, what they're up to. I don't think America fully knew about that. We know about it here in Philadelphia because you listen to me and Steve Feldman. We told you about this for 10, 15 years. And again, I don't even know some of the stuff they do, as I told you, in downtown Philadelphia is First Amendment protected. It involves all kinds of violations of various ordinances. Why is that not being looked at more? Why is that not an interest here? So it's the MAGA hat, but it's the Catholic part of it. That's what they're after. They don't like it that Republicans have made inroads there. And these phony Catholics on the Democrat side, Biden, Pelosi, Kerry, go up and down the line, every single one of them. They're out of control. They want the pro-abortion stance, and yep, they want the rub of saying I'm a Catholic because it has value. You know, if the school wanted to do the right thing here and the bishop and the others, what I think would be valuable, what I would accept as a parent if it were DJ and Luke here, is not them being thrown under the bus in this manner, but maybe they could talk about the upside, the downside of engagement with idiots like the black Israelites, etc. Maybe this is a lesson to talk about even better ways of doing it. But they are teenagers, and by and large, what they did here was fine. That's the way that I see it. I just think the chaperones could have headed this off at the pass. Because you and I might think, well, this is a good moment because we're itching to expose the media once again after the BuzzFeed debacle the day before they all engage in this. But you don't have to live with this. Just like the Duke lacrosse people, this stuff will be out there, given internet, given all that, that who knows for umpteen number of years how many people hold this against you in one way or another, what your life is like. And you could say, well, they shouldn't do that. I know that. So there's a cost to all this that you got to consider when you engage in this. Do I think a lawsuit will work? Well, this guy Barnes, so I'm trying to get on, who's offered his services pro bono, is a pretty high-powered lawyer. Think he knows the libel and defamation laws pretty well. And unless all these people in the media retract this stuff, and if they go farther like Andrea Mitchell, I think they are going to get sued. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes. Maybe that might send some kind of message. All right, 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You push pound 1210 and you're in. Let me go to Mark in Chester County. He's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mark, welcome in.
Hey, Dom. This morning, you wouldn't know that these black people were down there, what they were saying. It was, I watched the video, it was horrendous. They were calling these kids all kinds of names. And the Indian guy came in from them. They were cheering him on as he bullied through those kids. And the news said, well, these black guys may have been kind of instigating. GMA said almost that exact thing. These black men that were there may have instigated some of this.
Well, the thing is, too, right, providing context to this and providing how much, particularly in downtown Philadelphia, what they do. And is this protected speech when other people wouldn't be engaging in this? Absolutely, Mark. That's one of the stories there.
But that's nowhere in the story. They never showed the kind of things these men were saying to these children.
Right. No, I agree. They don't want to show that. They don't want to give context to the story. They just want to make it that viral moment that we've seen, the square off between the Native American and the kid. And then jump from there. So the kid didn't have to stand there, stand his ground with them, you know, moving aside or just not engaging with them. That's possible. But there was nothing wrong. There was nothing violent. There was nothing threatening to this guy here. And this guy does have a history of all sorts of ways of getting into the news that are a little bit on the edge. And I think he saw the opportunity to do that here. He saw the moment that this was ratcheting up. But I think the lesson here is don't engage when you come to areas like this in Washington unless you want to go through this. So I'm sure the kids felt pretty good because they did handle parts of this, even in a funny manner. If you've seen the parts, that one kid who's dancing or whatever when they're doing their rallies that they do at football games was a good way, they thought, to kind of chill this. It's not going to chill anything with the black Israelites. The only thing you can do with them is not engage with them. Unless you want to go through the ringer. Unless you want to go through just an onslaught. Schools closed today. Antifa coming and protesting. Here's the other people I want to target. And I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. The people at the school, the priests and others, the principal, and the cowardly bishop of Covington, they've seemed to me either their website's down or they shut it down. They never put up a statement after the initial statement when they were virtue signaling. And I get it. They were under a lot of pressure. They never put up a statement saying, you know what, this is more complicated. The full tape now indicates the students were provoked by this other group. And we're investigating. We want to see if they followed through in the values that we teach. Did they violate anything that the school would see as a violation on a field trip? But we wanted you to know that we get it, that there is a lot more to this. It's a lot more complicated. It is not simply these kids were just acting in a, quote, racist manner or anything. What's so out of bounds about that? Isn't it their duty? You're paying for your kid to go to a Catholic school. You think they would have some sense of pushing back on this a bit? Because that's the reality of what happened here. All right, 855-839-1210, you get in. Look, I have some people calling me about this guy Phillips and, you know, the math and all. Is he a Vietnam veteran? I'm not going to get into that yet. If it comes out, I'll talk about it, that that's made up or whatever. Don't let's not diminish a guy if he did serve honorably, particularly Vietnam War, in that manner. All I know about him is he's been out there before. He's a provocateur. And I think he sees the moment here to engage in this. It is kind of curious, though, that they were originally the Native Americans engaging with the black Israelites. By the way, these guys were calling out the priest, calling him a pedophile and all that was there. Wouldn't you think, if you're the chaperones, look, you get everybody out of there. You cannot. And I run into people all the time. Well, that's cowardice. What do you mean I can't stand there and go back to forth? Well, you can, I guess. But to what point? How do you think that's going to come out? If you're representing your school and all that in this situation, you know what the outcome is going to be. It's preordained. These kids didn't do anything out of line as far as I can tell. They weren't perfect. They're teenagers. And look at the result. Even now. Let's go to Andy in Marlton. Andy, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Andy.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
Morning.
I'll give you my take. I got a couple points here. One has to do with the Inquirer.
Yes.
And the others have to do with the way the media's treating this. I'd like to know, when is a child, when is a teenager, a minor? This is a rhetorical question because I know what the answer is. It's whenever the liberal media decides that it's sufficient, they're a sufficient age that they can attack them.
That's exactly right. They're 16-year-olds, most of these kids. That's right.
Because they can.
Right.
The other another point is on the word smirk. If there's one word that's been picked up, that's repeated everywhere. It's a smirk. It's a smirk. Dom, let's just say, I don't know if this is a Rorschach test or not. I don't see it as a smirk.
Oh, come on, Andy. Tom, you're disappointed. Look, Andy.
Let me explain.
Okay, I'll give you a minute. I just want to be clear to listeners, though. I'm in the camp of these kids, ultimately, though. But look, I know a smirk, and maybe I get into it too much. I've been in too many of these. Go ahead. Tell me why you think it's not.
All right. First of all, the boy was standing there, and I call him a boy. The boy was standing there, and this indigenous American approached him, got in his face.
Yes.
Now, he can back away, turn his head, walk away. He can look cowed down, or he can stand there. To me, maybe he is smirking. But then again, Don, maybe he's not. Maybe he's just looking very, very uncomfortable, and he has that smile on his face, and I don't call it a smirk. You could be right. I could be right. But neither one of us know. That's a Rorschach test.
I think he's smirking, but that doesn't mean I think that it indicates white privilege or dominance or anything else.
Don,
I just think it's a smirk, which is a defense mechanism sometimes. I agree with
you. Yes, exactly. So I made my point. The Inquirer point. This happened on Friday. On Saturday, almost everyone had one story. By Sunday, that wasn't true. The story had changed. There were a lot of other approaches to the story. On Monday morning, the Inquirer runs a story that was very typical of what the Inquirer does. They claim that they're very unbiased. They admit that they're liberal in their editorial page, but they claim that in their reporting they're not. BS. They gave a one-sided report that made these terrible. Now, they clarified a little bit more today. Now, this was Friday it happened. Saturday it was I could understand if they won the rush to judgment. By Sunday, they should have had it. And they ran this on Monday. What kind of reporting of a paper that considers themselves a national paper? They're no longer a national. They're not a top-notch paper.
Well, look, Andy, I agree with you. They have a duty. Once you rush to judgment, you hate to admit it and all, to say, hey, you know, and the way to do it is say that if they don't want to outright
three
say,
days, Dom.
Yeah,
3 days.
They should at least say this is more complicated. And not only
that,
I haven't seen there, and they got hundreds of reporters, Andy, the sidebar on the controversy with the black Israelites over here at One Liberty Place every Friday when they disrupt everybody. Wouldn't that be something people would want to know?
Dom, there's
the big
so
sidebar.
Many stories here.
Yeah.
But that's not what they're going to cover.
No, thanks, Andy.
You,
thanks very much. I stand by what I said. All right, maybe it's a defense mechanism. Maybe the kid thought he was smiling, and he said this, Sandman, to defuse the situation. Okay. You know what? I taught high school, and I had a lot of stuff back and forth. It looks more like a smirk to me, but that's okay. It doesn't mean we condemn him to hell or he's wrong. So two of the Covington High School students spoke out. They just created a video. There was no media. That'll come at some point. Not Sandman, but some of the others who were there and observing this. What did they feel? What were they thinking?
Hi, I'm Sam.
I'm Grant.
And we're here today to talk to you about how the recent negative media controversy has affected us as individuals and our school as a whole. Several media platforms blatantly lied about the events regarding the controversy in D.C., and it has affected us as a community and individuals greatly. There have been many threats against our lives, against our parents. Some of these threats include that we should all be locked in the school and it should be burnt to the ground, the school being bombed, school shooting threats. It's really scary. I know that a lot of people are scared to go to school tomorrow and won't be attending because of what could happen. There have been cops there ever since the incident, and I think there'll be a lot more tomorrow. A lot of the negativity and the hate surrounding this event comes from people on social media doxing people that were at the event.
All right, let's stop right there. So doxing, by now, I'm not sure how many people. It was an odd expression. It's been used. Putting out your information, who you are, where you live, track these people down. See if you can find anything else. If you see them out there playing ball or walking to a grocery store, confront them, get in their face. Kathy Griffin and others. And part of the story here is Twitter has not stepped in. Don Trump Jr. and others calling for them to step in with people like Kathy Griffin and others who are egging this on with a bunch of kids around this. Any kids, not just the principal kid with a Native American guy, but any of them in that situation to go after them. Now, the attorney in that county I'm trying to reach, Sanders his name is, has said he's going to go after this within the fullest extent of the law with whatever he can do. You cannot allow these people, because of the social media wall in front of them that protects them, to continue to engage in this. So I wonder if these people in the media would think, wow, we did this to kids. We got to do better. We have to apologize. We have to say something. We have to look at our actions here in some way, shape, or form. So that's the first part. That's the doxing, but there's more.
A lot of the negativity and the hate surrounding this event comes from people on social media doxing people that were at the event. I myself wasn't even present, but I'm very vocal about defending my school and my peers, and I have been doxed on three separate occasions. This has led to a tsunami of hateful messages and threats and everything above.
I was also doxed, as well as my good friend Grant Neltner, in a tweet. A lot of these doxes have been deleted because they realized they were wrong and they don't want to face the backlash for it. A lot of people's parents were also doxed. Their work was called. This could greatly affect their job. They could be fired. There are real consequences for these actions, and it all spews from a 30-second clip taken out of a 2-hour video out of context, and people jump into conclusions before the full story is released. Nobody did their research, and it's now showing.
All right, so there's part of the human toll of this. One kid not even there, but because he had spoken out about various things before. Now they're going through Covington High School, and this is what CNNs of the world and the others, particularly there's some there that are Catholics. They put it out that Jim Sciotto has put out, as a Catholic, how offended I am by this. How many of these people as Catholics are offended? They're not offended by Planned Parenthood and the body parts and anything else. You never see that. But they're offended by the actions of these kids at the pro-life march. Maybe they're offended by the pro-life march. You got a real thing in this country. And I know some people listening saying, well, I'm not a Catholic. How's it involve? It involves you. Because 27% of the voters or so are Catholics. Because some of the most prominent people up and down the line are Catholics or alleged they're Catholics, like Pelosi. And this plays in back and forth constantly. And I think it's shameful, the hierarchy of the church in this, like the bishop in Baltimore, the bishop in Covington, and a bunch of others going after these kids before they knew anything. And then not following up and saying, well, it's more complicated than that. We see that. We're still going to investigate that. We don't know if this reflects the values we're teaching, but we have to tell the media they rushed to judgment here. Don't you think the bishop in Covington, the principal there, and others ought to be saying things like that, since this is a Catholic school? No, they're not. Let me just throw this into the mix. Over at Notre Dame on Martin Luther King Day, they're covering up these grand artworks of Christopher Columbus. Notre Dame, the same place that welcomed President Obama. They like to put the shingle out there, you know, the Fighting Irish, Catholic, and all that. This is the battle inside the Catholic Church. And it has repercussions up and down the line politically. Look at the number of people that are on the Supreme Court that are Catholics, to tell you an idea of the politics of this and the power of Catholicism still and how it plays out and how people like Nancy Pelosi want to work both sides of the fence. So the reason why the National Right to Life March has become part of the conservative mode of this is because Democrats don't believe in it. You cannot be there. Is Bob Casey Jr.? Why is Bob Casey Jr. not at the March for Life if he's pro-life? Just as an example. Because he supports people and he knows as a Democrat in good standard, you can't do that. You're not going to see any presidential candidate make any kind of headway on that side if they're not pro-choice and not just vaguely pro-choice. So 855-839-1210, you'll get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210. There's a couple of kids telling you, one who wasn't even there, this doxing stuff. If you saw Tucker last night, Mark Stein was brilliant, talking about what we're unleashing in social media. Now, I didn't get anything like these kids. Howard Stern last week, it was great for me. I'll admit it. We had a lot of fun with it, going after me for 14 minutes. But some of the vile people that came out of the woodwork on Twitter were amazing. I'm not a teenager. You know, I'm not a civilian. Like, they're civilians. That's why I say that all the time. You come after me, I'm a big mouth bloviator. I have to deal with that. That's part of, this is the life we've chosen. You know, Godfather 2. That's what I think of this job. You come after Road DJ or Luke, though, that's war. I'll sig the hounds of hell on you, and I've done that. It's the same thing here. This priest, this bishop, whoever else is in that school, why are they not protecting the flock? Now, if they want to get these kids privately and tell them what they think went wrong here in some of this, that's fine. But they are cowardly, in my view. They are virtue signaling to protect themselves and protect their reputation. And the reason the Catholic Church reputation is so bad is because of the priests in hierarchy being out of control with the priest scandal. So you did it, not these kids. How can you virtue signal? How can you let your website be down? How can you not say, we're going to talk to these kids about some of their reaction here? I think that's fine. But the media is just completely out of control here. And there was provocation. Don't you think they ought to be protecting in that manner? And then dealing with the imperfections that may be here with these kids as far as they see it? 855-839-1210. That's part of the big story here to me. Where are the figures that will stand up and say, you know, this has a lot of anti-Catholic sentiment to it, too. And it has an attack on the March for Life. Let's go to Paula, who's waiting in Jersey on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Paula. Good morning.
Hi, Dom. How are you? Good morning.
Good. Good morning.
My thoughts on this were that the chaperones before the march should explain to these young children, these teenagers, that they might be baited. Be on your best behavior. Not that these kids were not, but
right.
they're not prepared for the twisted things that some of these demonstrators did. And out of all the beautiful things that happened, I have a best girlfriend who goes to the march every year, and never a problem. This is the only thing they're focusing on. Again, the Catholic Church or the chaperone should have warned these kids. Listen, you might be have hate baiters. You might try mm-hmm. to, you know, thrown into things. No one told them this.
Right.
And that's
now,
the problem.
Now, Paul, when I was at St. John Newman, there was this one priest there. If you can imagine, you know, rough kids back in the day, a woman walks through, I remember, just some woman. It was an all-boys school, and guys are jumping up and down. He waits like 10 seconds, and he just goes, gentlemen, cut it and cut it now. And you would think, with all that noise and all, well, we knew what would happen, what this priest would do. So if the priest, a couple of priests there had said, yo, get to the other side here, don't engage with these people, that's it. That's what it should have happened. You cannot make fun and have fun with the black Israelites. It doesn't work.
No, and again, you have a lot of these kids are suburban kids. They're just not used to it. Look, I went to Catholic school from eighth grade to kindergarten, eighth to 12th grade. We had one look from a priest, and then we knew because the bar wasn't lowered. Now, in everything, the bar is lowered.
You're right.
What a shame for Notre Dame to do that for Columbus. What a shame some of these Fordham Law School, or they said Fordham, have this crucifix taken off. I mean, these are all the little things that are ripping out of our, and again, comes from the top.
Right. Well, you know, my mission is to tell people about Notre Dame and the nonsense they do. And when they brought President Obama there, that is a suggestive endorsement of him, a guy who was completely anathema to what they're supposed to stand for, life. This is a president who said even after an abortion, if the baby doesn't expire, logically, you have to let it expire.
Look, Don, you're absolutely right, and here's the case. Like you said, how can you be a Democrat and then be a Catholic? You know, and I'm going to get a lot of grief on this. But again, if you're pro-life, you believe in life. If you're a Catholic, again, it's from the church. Shh, don't bother anyone.
I hear you, Paul. Now, the Washington Post differs with Paul today. If you are a Catholic, they're saying, you know what, people in this March for Life, essentially the good March for Lifers, they're getting tired of saying, well, yes, you people say you're for life, but then it means you can't. Why are you not for Obamacare? They actually say this. They say health care. They mean Obamacare. Why are you for capital punishment? I mean, come on. It's obvious, isn't it, the distinction between the two, between capital. In other words, they're trying to tear down the March for Life movement and say all that it's really become is a movement for conservatism and people like Trump even. That's what it is. It's not about life. Because if you're about life, then you would agree with the Democrats. Well, wait a minute. They're the ones denying the most basic part of this. And they're not just vaguely pro-choice where there could be reasonable debate about various things. You have to be stridently, I'll use that word, pro-choice, pro-abortion, in order to be their presidential nominee. That's the way it is right now. Let's see. Let's go to Bruce in Germantown. Bruce, you went to the march this year.
Yeah, good morning, Don.
Good morning.
I drove down by myself.
Okay.
It was a beautiful day. I made a tactical error. I walked from where I parked, which was near Union Station. That prevented me from ever getting near the mall because there were hundreds of thousands of people. You couldn't move. Usually I take the metro to Smithsonian,
right,
which lets you out in the mall.
Okay.
So I've always been able to be in front of the stage. So I missed Ben Shapiro. I missed Pence and his wife. But it was amazing, the energy, you know, no describing it. But I wanted to say there was very little Trump stuff at that rally. Very little. I mean, looking around, there was a guy, a black guy of all people, selling Trump Make America Great hats on the way, on the march from the mall up to the court.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was buying them. I saw one guy with a Trump 2020 like flag, you know, tied around like a cape. I saw one teenager with his shirt open with, you know, Trump 2020 on it. But there was not a lot of Trump anything. The one thing that was hilarious, There were some signs, you know, there's many signs, and a lot of them are mass-produced, and one of them was the Trump, a play on Trump, the blue oblong with the red lines and stars, and it had in the red print, "Make unborn babies great again."
Oh.
That, I thought, was really good.
Yeah, well, look, what's happened here is Democrats are the ones that have ceded ground on this issue. They don't want to be, name one Democrat, even Casey, that says, yo, I want to be a principal speaker at the March for Life thing. Why doesn't Bob Casey do that?
Right. They've had various elected officials, Ted Cruz. You know, there's been
right,
many people over the years. Trump piped in last year for the first time a president. So and Pence himself. So, yeah, they could, but, you know, they'd be pilloried for it.
That's why they don't do it, Bruce. It's sad. You know, and I have Bob Casey, who's an awfully nice man. He is, as a person. 2008, you may remember the convention, tight quarters, we're broadcasting remotely from it, the Obama year, President Obama nominated. And I asked him about this, and I asked him about his father. And he said his father would be happy, and he's happy, because President Obama was going to offer so much more to women making a choice between life and having an abortion, that there'd be fewer abortions. That was what he was going to stick with. And we went back and forth. I mean, he's got to know deep down, is this... And look, he runs on the Casey name. The Casey name. I'll tell you, Bob Casey, the original Casey, the governor, the name is just magical in Pennsylvania. It's like a Kennedy name. The father didn't agree with him on some issues, but I'll say this for him. He was a principal Democrat. He was the Democrat for the little guy, for both ends of life. Even if he was more liberal than I, he certainly was a man of principle. And that's why he didn't get to speak at their convention.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.